at times.radio.
We are discussing the conviction of Lucy Letby on 7 counts of murder and further 7 counts of attempted murder, which has raised important questions about patient safeguarding in healthcare. Let's speak to Stephanie Pryor, a lawyer specialising in clinical negligence and birth injuries. She's also a former nurse. Stephanie, good morning.
Good morning.
It's really helpful to speak to you this morning. Thank you for joining us. I suppose where to start with all of this, in terms of the length of the investigation, the length of time that this has been going on from first initial complaint to actual conviction yesterday, what do you make of the prolonged nature of this story, this scandal, these tragedies?
I mean, firstly, I don't think we can detract from the pain and suffering that these families must be going through. I just wanted to acknowledge that. But the time that it takes for these investigations is absolutely harrowing for the families, because it's just they want answers. They want to know why this has happened. They want to get to the bottom of it. And it just takes such a long time. And that itself just causes them more distress and upset.
In terms of what you make of the investigation, it feels like there are so many points at which this really went quite badly wrong. And I suppose I want to focus on the concerns of experts, medical experts, clinicians, those who were working on the ward, who raised concerns with management, and those concerns seemingly were not acted upon. Can you help us understand the process in a hospital, in a ward, when medical experts are raising concerns about a colleague? What processes then kick in or should kick in?
Well, really, what should happen is these concerns should be brought to the attention of the management, and obviously the staff concerned should be interviewed. But unfortunately, this is a tragic example of a toxic environment at an NHS trust where good staff do not have the confidence to report serious failings, or if they do, they're not taken seriously, without fearing what the consequences might be to them, their reputation and career. And we see this time and time again where staff are not confident enough to report something that's happened, and when they do, no action is taken. So it makes it very, very difficult. But I think in this particular instance, if these concerns had been taken seriously in 2015, then, you know, it may have prevented the further attacks on 5 more babies and the killing of 2 other babies, and that's just absolutely tragic, because it could have been prevented.
So does that point to a failure of the system? Because, you know, one of the questions here is why Letby was allowed to continue working for months, as you say, after suspicions were first raised. We heard from a guest a few moments ago who was saying in his time, if there were concerns, they would just be fully investigated, if for no other reason than to exonerate someone. So why on earth would you allow somebody to keep working when there are concerns at play?
Exactly. And I think the other thing about it was when these concerns were eventually acted upon, she was assigned to work in another department that dealt with risk and patient safety. So she had access to documentation that actually implicated her in these terrible crimes. And I think, you know, even when she was suspended, the wrong action was probably taken.
How thorough are checks on nurses in general to evaluate, I suppose, psychological suitability to working in these sorts of environments, in intensive care, working directly on life and death situations and decision making? Are there adequate evaluations in place?
I'm not quite sure. I'm not quite sure whether this could have been, this is an example of, this could have been, guess that this sort of thing would have happened, or that she had this type of personality, because obviously this is completely out of the ordinary, and this is not something that people do, you know, an everyday occurrence. I mean, it's so tragic, and it's just such a detraction of what a nurse should do and how a nurse should behave, that I don't think even if tests or investigations had been carried out, which they aren't usually, this could have been anticipated.
We've spoken about the concerns of colleagues and how the system here seemed not to allow for the concerns of colleagues to be acted upon for any number of reasons. I wonder also if there needs to be some sort of cultural shift for patients, and indeed for, in this case, parents of babies, where they can question what is going on and they can interrogate the action that is being taken in real time. I just wonder if our culture of our deference to medical personnel is actually problematic in some contexts.
I think it is, actually, because this is something that I see quite a lot in maternity units up and down the country when I'm dealing with cases relating to maternal deaths or stillbirths, etc. And I feel that there's quite a toxic environment in these units, so that people are afraid to speak out, or if they do speak out, they're not taken seriously. And there tends to be a lot of friction between the staff. So there's friction between the doctors and the nurses, and it seems that they're not working in harmony together to meet the needs of the patients.
Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, do patients have the power to question that and to say, look, hang on a second, I'm not sure this is the best care, I would like to understand how this works? Does the system really allow for that, or are parents and patients really shut down if they're criticising in that way?
I think it's the latter, to be honest. That's my experience. Yeah. I mean, a lot of clients I see and talk to, they say if they make a complaint, they're treated differently afterwards and they don't want to make too much of a fuss. And also they've got doubts themselves as to whether or not they're raising issues that could be potentially serious, or are they making too much fuss. But I think the bottom line is if there is a concern, or if a patient feels that the treatment they're having or a family member's having is not as it should be, then concerns should be raised. Because, like you say, they can exonerate somebody if it's a concern that's not justified. But I think this is a typical example of it not being taken seriously. I mean, it's an extreme example, I must say.
Sure. On a couple of practical questions, Stephanie, Cheshire Police are now reviewing the care of 4,000 babies who were admitted to the Countess of Chester Hospital and also Liverpool Women's Hospital, where Lucy Letby had 2 work placements. I think just as a practical undertaking, that is huge. That is a huge amount of investigation. Perhaps you can give us some insight into how exactly that will work.
It's going to be an enormous task, I think, because they'll have to interview so many people and take witness statements from patients, from staff. And I think, you know, memories do fade and people don't remember things as clearly as they would have if the witness statements had been taken at that particular time of the incident. And I think now that sort of all this has come into the press, then that could sort of mar people's memories as well. And they may remember things slightly different to how they actually were. And it's going to be a very difficult task, actually, for the police to do this. And also it's going to take an awful long time, which is something that may obviously affect the families even more, because it will be a slow process and take a lot of police manpower and time.
And I just want to ask as well about the independent inquiry that's been ordered by the government into the crimes committed in this case. What does it mean? Just talk to us about the independent inquiry that's been ordered, because there are different types of inquiry, so help us understand what this one will be.
I mean, this inquiry should really investigate why the concerns were not investigated at the time they were initially raised. I think that's the most important thing. And also, this inquiry will invite the families to take part as well, to have, you know, their say, and for them to be able to raise concerns that weren't investigated as well. So I think that the issue with these inquiries, again, they take a long time. They take, there's a lot of information, there's a lot of people involved, and it's not going to be something that, you know, the families are going to get some sort of answers to that issues and concerns straight away. I mean, it could take a few years for this inquiry to conclude. And I think that might be another difficulty and a frustration for the families as well.
Stephanie, thank you very much. Thank you for your insight. Thank you for your expertise on this. We appreciate that. That is Stephanie Pryor, who's a lawyer specialising in clinical negligence and birth injuries, and also a former nurse. So I think one of the things here that Stephanie has spoken of then is the environment in maternity units that she comes across, which can often be really quite toxic among staff. And actually, there probably needs to be some sort of cultural shift to empower parents more. And, you know, clearly in the situation of caring for a sick baby, it is not the parents' responsibility to deploy expertise. Clearly that is the job of medical professionals. However, there should be a cultural shift so that parents can criticise and question and interrogate.
It should be openness, shouldn't there,
exactly,
really?
So that conversation can be had and can be listened to by those who can enact changes, acting upon those concerns that are expressed by parents and indeed by staff.